Take your Bibles and go again to Ephesians chapter 1. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The other Sunday, I began preaching this, talking about praying for the struggle. And after not being able to be here last week, I thought, well, Lord, you'll surely lead me in another direction. But he didn't. And so for just a little while, I want to touch on a few things. I'll be honest with you. Between pollen and strep throat last week, forcing a whole lot, but the Lord sure helped me yesterday, and I believe He will today. But I want to just try to remind you that we're still in a land where there's struggles and heartaches, sorrows and burdens, cares of life. Brother Jeremy so adequately talked about heaven. But this isn't heaven. This isn't even close. Because there is weeping. There are heartaches. So we need to pray for the struggling, for those who are dealing with sorrows, those who are dealing with sickness, disappointment, trials of life. I talked last about Paul praying and how he made the statement. He said, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he said in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that's as far as we got. But as Paul continued in verse 17, an additional part of his prayer, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love. Paul is trying to pray that they would be reassured by his presence. Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That sounds odd on the surface. Because we realize when we were saved by the grace of God, Christ came in to dwell. So what in the world is Paul saying? I'm praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The word dwell Paul uses speaks of having closeness to the Lord. Paul said, I'm praying that you draw nearer and closer to the one who dwells in your heart. Brother Jeremy, Sunday before last, when I preached the first message from the text, Brother Jeremy, I called on him to dismiss. I walked to the door while he was praying, and I heard him make this statement in his prayer that we might just reach up close to the Lord. That's what Paul's talking about. Fitted in country terms. Paul's saying, I'm just praying you'll just scrooge up close to him and let him scrooge up close to you. I'll be honest, I can't imagine facing a moment of life without him. I can't imagine families facing a week like they faced this week without him. I can't imagine battling cancer. I can't imagine it facing sickness and trials without my Lord. Paul seems to be saying, folk, I know you're hurting. I know you're struggling. But I'm praying you'll just scrooge up close to Jesus. And let Jesus just scrooge up close to you. I believe that makes a great difference if we'll do just that. Paul is trying to reassure them of his presence. And then Paul seeks to reaffirm them by his love. He says, being rooted and grounded in love. There are two ideas here. First of all, Paul uses the term of agriculture, saying that you be rooted. Then he uses a term of architecture, that you be grounded. Paul said, I'm praying that you've got your roots run deep. And you got your life set on the right foundation in the love of God. Paul is desiring that they realize how much God loves them. He says, let that anchor your heart. through the battles of life. I read something recently that blessed my heart. I was reading about trees being rooted in a plant. There is a type of trees that the scientific name isn't this, but what they're called are rock trees. Preacher, talk about a tree that's not known. But rock trees grow in some of the most difficult places of stony ground. And as I read about them, it said the way they survive is they shoot their roots down through the cracks in the fissures of the rock. And the roots will go through all those cracks and fissures, weaving their way, anchoring themselves to the rocks. And they not only use that as an anchor, but it says they dig deep, reaching several yards down, that they find the nourishment they need to survive. Preacher, what about all that? I thought, Lord, make us like a rock tree. Or one of those that our roots run deep into the rock of ages. Cleft for me. That my anchor is in the rock. My anchor isn't in my abilities. My anchor's not in my fortitude. But my anchor runs down deep into the rock. And that's where my nourishment comes from. That's where my strength comes from. You say, preacher, why? Why do we need to do that? Because mark it down, there's going to come days. Storm winds blow against you. They're going to blow hard on your life. Hold your family. Better make sure you're anchored in rock. I read this about that rock tree. And it said this, I want to read it. It said this deep-rooted determination shows how life can endure and even thrive in the most challenging environments. They find yourself facing difficult days, just like those Ephesian saints. Paul said, I'm praying that you just get rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. But he went on and he said in verse 18 that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Paul said, I'm praying that you might grasp just how much he loves you. Paul said, the breadth of his love, just how wide that love is. Paul said, the length, that you might realize how long it lasts, forever and ever. Paul said, I want you to grasp the depth of his love. His love that reaches the lowest of sinners, saves them by grace. He said, I want you to think about the height of his love. It's that love that takes us from the depths of sin and one day is going to carry us into his holy presence. Paul said, I want you to just anchor to that love. Yes, so preacher, why? Why does he want them to be so anchored to that? Because there's a day the devil's going to tell you God don't love you. There'll be some days the enemy will say, God really cared, you wouldn't be facing all this. But he said, just like in the book of Romans, neither death nor life, nor principalities or powers, things present or things to come, will ever separate us from his love. But then lastly, Paul tried to encourage them about the endurance of God's power. In verse 20, Paul says, tell unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. In the church of Jesus Christ throughout ages, world without end. Paul is saying, I'm praying God give you the understanding he has all power to meet your needs. He said he would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He gives power to face, power to handle, or power to go through what normally we never could. Paul wrote the church at Corinth. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul said, that's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to survive. That's how we're going to thrive, is by the help and the power of God. He has power to do astounding things. I've read in the scriptures how he brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea. I've read how he brought down the walls of Jericho. I've read how they gave David power to defeat Goliath. And I want to tell you, it's the same God today that did those things then. But I saw something that really caught my eye before. Paul says all of that. God can do all things. Then he said, unto him the glory. He closes by emphasizing, saying God can do all things. But most of all, I want him to get the glory. Could God have brought healing to Henry Wash? Sure he could have. But I believe God got glory out of it all. Others we've watched suffer and hurt and go through sickness and trials. God in an instant could change it all, but he often doesn't. But he gets the glory. And when all is said and done, one day we'll stand around the throne of God and we'll say glory and wisdom and honor and blessing be to he who sits on the throne forever and ever. Paul said that's what I learned in the end, that God gets the glory. We all face the burdens and trials and struggles of life. Seems like week after week after week, somebody finds out something's going on with their life, their physical. Talked to one of my sisters just the other day. She said, I want you to help me pray. Some spots have shown up on the lung. And I'm going to face a PET scan. And think it may be cancer. Seems like it never ends, doesn't it? But one day in his presence, there'll be no more. But until he comes, I challenge you last time, challenge you again today, that you pray for the struggling. Because it seems we all are in some measure and in some means pray for one another. Lay aside all our differences, our problems, our situations, and say, God, would you help us? We're your family, and we need your help and your strength to face these days. That's the message of the heart that finishes up that portion of Scripture. David, would you get us a song? There may be a need. Somebody's heart today. Maybe there's something burdening your heart. This altar's open. You need to come find your spot for just a while. Ask God to meet your needs. Or someone in your family, your life. You can come pray. Let's stand. Let's stand.